I am interviewing Mr. Clyde Thompson at the Temple Memorial Library on January the 14th, 1984. His current address is 114 Hines Street. My name is Becky Bailey. Mr. Clyde, where were you born?
Lufkin.
In Lufkin?
Lufkin, Texas.
What year?
November 13th, 1899.
What were your parents' names?
My father was named George R. Thompson, and my mother was Emma Burt Thompson.
Okay. Were they from Texas, or had they moved here from?
Angelina County.
Okay. What about your grandparents? Had they lived around here? Do you know from what state they came?
My paternal grandparents came from Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And maternal grandparents were rich here. There was McMullins.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you spend all your childhood in Lufkin then?
No.
Or?
We moved to Huntington when I was 2 years old, and I lived there until I came to Diboll in 1916.
Mm-hmm. I see. So you were 17 years old?
No, 16.
16 years old. Okay, 1916. What kind of education did you go through? Did you just go through high school?
High school and 3 months business college.
Oh.
Education at Tyler.
Oh, in Tyler.
Tyler Commercial College.
Okay. What type of work did you do when you first came to Diboll? Did your family move here, or was it just you?
No, just me. I did what in those days they called stenographic work. That's before they refined it and called it secretary.
Oh, I see. Where was the office then? Was it?
It was just a little north, the present big building. It was a store, and then there was the office late to the one that's got Southern mm-hmm. Pine Lumber coming down there. Well, we had a little office just north between that and what you call the library.
Mm-hmm.
About how far was it from the steps? The steps are still there to the main store, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was the first building.
That's right.
How far was it?
Oh,
not very far.
Oh, just short distance. Just,
mm-hmm. just a few
just
steps.
They just built it right against
mm-hmm.
it.
How many people worked in the office then?
Four.
Were you the only secretary?
No, there was one other.
Both men? Was it a man too?
No, one was a lady. It was later a man, but the later, when I came as a Ms. Balzer, a lady.
Mm-hmm. Was that kind of unusual for a lady to be working there?
Well, no, I couldn't answer that. I don't see. I was just out of high school, worked a little bit in Huntington, and I didn't know much about nothing, so
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
How
I
did you
really
end up in Diboll? What made you decide to come here?
A man by the name of Welsh, who was married to my second cousin, was in the office here,
mm-hmm.
and he called me and told me the job was open and he could get it for me if I wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, I was working in the mornings for the Huntington State Bank, and my job there consisted of sweeping the floor, getting the mail, and straightening the money. So if I have as many as two bills now, I always straighten them. And in the afternoon, I worked for Mr. J.J. Collins, who was a lawyer later in Lufkin, got fairly well known everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And he was Huntington. I worked for him in the afternoon. I started that in June and then October the 1st when I came here in 1916.
Mm-hmm. How many men worked at the plant at that time? Did you have anything to do with the payroll or anything like that?
I really don't know. I just don't know the number of men, but nothing compared with what it is now because they had only made lumber and lath. Fence lath.
Oh.
And they burned up most the rest of all the stuff, you know, to save now. It was just simply a strictly a sawmill.
Yeah.
They made boards, dimension, and a few timbers, and that's all there was to it, and fence left.
What sort of housing arrangements did you have when you first moved here?
I boarded with the Welches.
Oh, I see. Okay. And you took your meals there, too?
Or? Oh, yes.
Which is the old Hogue home.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Well, that's R.V. Welch's parents, but had been Postmaster Lufkin.
Oh, man. That's the same, huh?
I'd like to get in there that I started on a magnificent salary of $40 a month.
Oh, okay, good. What were your working hours?
8 to 5, 6 days a week.
Okay.
And there was no such thing as vacation and Saturdays off and that kind of stuff. Later, after I got promoted up to where I had a secretary, Mrs. Pitson Garrison, laughing a while back, said that she asked me when I hired her, what about the vacation times and times off? I told her we had Christmas Day off to come on Sunday. And that's what she said. I told her, and I guess, and then that's about right.
Christmas Day, if it came on Sunday.
It wasn't anything like it is now.
That's a lot.
And we generally went back at night after we'd go home and eat at 5, and as a general rule, even after we married, I'd go back at night, wouldn't I?
Sure did. Dated 3 years, and then the time we got married, he had to go back and stay till bedtime. They didn't work, though.
Oh.
Except their mouths.
Oh, no. Oh, goodness. What were your duties when you first started? What sort of...
I was a stenographer for Mr. G.W. Cleveland, who was head of the hardwood department. He was hardwood sales manager. At that time, they had a hardwood mill here in addition to the pine mill. And then I was also secretary to Mr. D.C. Kinley, who was in charge of the timber and land department.
Okay, was this Finley?
Kinley. K-E-N-L-E-Y.
Kinley. Okay. Did they have foresters back then? You said he was in charge of the...
No, he was it.
Oh, he was it.
He had charge of land buying timber and all that, buying land and all that kind of stuff. He's the man that's more responsible than anybody with the company for the company having this 1,000,000 acres of land. Mm-hmm. Of course, he didn't buy 1,000,000 acres, but he bought lots of it. He started here and bought it all the way up to the other side of Rusk, you know, on each side. And then they run the railroad up there and all like that.
Mm-hmm. But there was no management per se? I mean, they didn't have foresters who went out and...
No, he did all that.
He did everything.
Later, he employed Kenneth Nelson to do a little typing for him. And offered him so much a sheet, and Kenneth's much faster than he thought he would, and it cost him so much, he put him on regular as to help him. And then Kenneth began to, that's where Kenneth learned surveying and all that kind of stuff.
So, mm-hmm.
And then later on, I branched out, of course, and they did have farce, but I'm talking about the beginning.
Bennings, there weren't. Okay, who was the superintendent of the pine mill at that time?
Mr. Watson Walker was general manager.
Oh, of the whole thing?
Uh-huh. And they had mill foreman at each mill.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Marvin Hamner was foreman at mill number one. And
how many mills did they have? Then?
Two.
The hardwood mill
had
and
three,
the pine?
No.
The
hardwood mill had just burned down when I came here. And they did have three. Then they ran mill number two at night on hardwood. See, it did double shift.
I see.
And Mr. Hendricks was foreman of mill number two.
So they only had the two mills then at that
two
time
mills,
when you came back.
But
did they ever?
But three shifts.
Uh-huh.
I mean, one mill had two shifts, and that made three shifts.
Uh-huh. Did they ever rebuild the mill after it burned?
No.
Okay. Okay, they had the general manager. Oh, I know what I wanted to ask. How involved were the temples at this time? Who was which Mr. Temple was?
Mr. T.L.L.
was
the founder. And he was the president Arthur Temple's grandfather.
Right.
When I came here, the president Arthur Temple's father, who's also named Arthur, and had not married. He was in college.
Mm-hmm.
Arthur used to laugh and say he never could fire me because his grandfather hired me. Actually, Mr. Strauss, the office manager, hired, but Mr. T.L. was very much in charge, and he would be down. He lived in Texarkana,
right.
And the sales office was in Texarkana.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason we had such a small office force here to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, later the sales office and everything moved here and all like that. But Mr. T.L.L. was down here pretty often. When he would come, after the Welches left here, Mr. Welch left here, and I was given his job,
mm-hmm.
which was, he was a secretary to Mr. Strauss, kind of assistant to him, and I was given that job, and then when they left, I moved up what you call with that those days, and it was built for a library. Mr. T.L.L. had it built. It's what now is Love Wood Products building, and they had rooms upstairs, and I had one of the rooms. I paid rent there and then ate over at the hotel here,
mm-hmm.
which was called the Star Hotel, and was operated by Mrs. Estes, who is Sis Pickle's grandmother, and then her mother.
Okay. Now, Mr. Strauss was the office manager?
Yes,
he was
ma'am.
Just the office manager.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
Mr. Watson was the mill
general
manager.
Or
the general
manager.
He was over everybody.
That's right. And Mr. Strauss had the office.
Okay.
And that was it. Then, after Mr. Watson Walker passed away,
mm-hmm.
then they divided the operations between Mr. Strauss and Mr. O'Hara. Mr.
Mm-hmm.
O'Hara had been salt filer. And they divided the operations, and I was made assistant to both, and then I got a privilege of having a secretary, and I employed Harvey Rowan at Lufkin, who still lives in Lufkin. Incidentally, I introduced him to one of the Kelly girls, and he took off pretty good because he married her.
Oh, goodness. Okay, so that's how did Temple have other holdings in Texarkana, or was this the main operation?
This was the main operation. Now, I don't remember the exact date, but after I'd been here a little while, I just can't remember. They bought out the Pineland operation from the Norton Lumber Company.
Mm-hmm.
And then later, they bought the Hemp Hill operations from the famous Ms. Knox.
Mm-hmm. Why was she famous?
Well,
y'all seem to know some.
She ran that mill over there, and she ran it, I mean, and everything at Hemp Hill, she ran everything over there. She was quite a character, and a fine woman now, and all like that, but one reason she got famous, her husband was killed, and she was charged with killing him.
Oh.
But Chester Collins, who was a cousin of J.J. Collins, that I mentioned a while ago, got her out of it in some way. Now, whether she killed him or not, I'm not passing on that, I don't know. But that gave her a lot of publicity.
Mm-hmm.
But she did things like this, employees. On Juneteenth,
mm-hmm.
she employed a white band, a band composed of all white members,
mm-hmm.
to come to Hemp Hill and play for a dance and a barbecue for the black people. But those days they were Negroes, you know.
Yeah.
And that went all over the country, her doing that.
Mm-hmm.
She was good to her employees. And,
what was her first name? You remember?
No, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Her her husband was named Hiram, but I don't remember her name.
Do you remember?
Do you?
I don't.
Do you remember her name?
I don't remember her first name. Just Miss Cox is all I can remember.
She would do things like this. See, now I was talking about things. I heard him laughing about it. One day, some carpenter was working up on the roof of a building, and she didn't like the way he was doing, and there's several of them downstairs. So she went up the ladder and shot her arm and said, "Y'all all get back so we can't see up my dress." And things like that. She was something that was all kind of tales told about her, but still everybody loved her.
Mm-hmm.
But that's. But later.
About what year did they buy this from her?
I'll tell you on the next interview. I'll tell you. I just simply those years passed so.
Oh yeah, I know.
At my age, I just can't pinpoint age today.
Okay.
Later
on.
Later now, after the company bought her out, another thing, she was famous. was convicted of evasion of income tax and was sent to the up in Dallas, that institution they had there.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot they had a special name for it. And she had all kind of money, you know, as an operator of this mill over here and was well fixed, but she'd run through with all of it. And I remember her writing Mr. Henry Temple a letter one Christmas to please send her, and she listed several items. I remember just some toilet articles and some candy and things like that. Mr. Temple turned the letter over me and asked me to handle it, and I got stuff and shipped it to her. And I think she died in that institution. No, she didn't either. No, she didn't. She was ill, and I think that they got her out early, and she came to Huntington and passed away at Huntington, I believe is right.
Hmm.
But everybody, Lillian Knox, I've thought of her name
okay.
now. Everybody knew her in the industry, you know, the lumber business.
Well, it was kind of unusual for a female probably to be running the.
See, her husband was supposed to run it, but he just worked over there.
Oh, and she told him how to do it. Huh?
No, she's the one everybody looked to.
Oh, goodness. Okay. Let's see. Okay, so they got Pineland and Hemp Hill. Did they acquire any other smaller sawmills around, or was that just about it?
Not that they didn't buy any. Now, they established several small sawmills around on various parts of the land to help cut the timber.
Mm-hmm.
I remember after I was made vice president of the land and all that, we put in a little mill in Louisiana. We bought a lot of timber up there, and we put in a mill there. And then Mr. Carol Allen, who married Arthur's sister, put in a mill out in Trinity County.
Mm-hmm.
And there's probably other small sawmills. Mm-hmm. The lumber was shipped here, you see.
Right.
For it's shipped in the rough here to be dressed and so forth.
Okay. So when did you become vice president then of the?
I don't recall that.
Okay.
I was one of the vice presidents. The time they created the vice presidency, I was made vice president, Kenneth Nelson vice president, and Carol Allen a vice president.
Okay.
Carol Allen was a brother-in-law of Arthur Temple, married Arthur's sister. And then later, Joe Denmark.
Oh, okay.
And then Joe was made executive vice president later.
Mm-hmm. But this all just grew rather gradually,
yes,
and
that's right.
As people would retire and whatever they need to make.
Yes, that's right. It didn't take the big spurt of growing until the present Arthur Temple came in command. After he finished school in Texas County High School and went 15 or 20 minutes to Texas University. That's the way he explained it himself. I think he went one term. And then he came to Lufkin to manage the Lufkin yard. They had a, I don't remember when the retail yards were established, but they finally established 36 retail yards, and they advertised it from the Rio Grande to the Red River. That was their advertisement.
Mm-hmm.
And Arthur was in charge of the Lufkin yard. And then when finally, Mr. O'Hare and Mr. Strauss were made co-managers at Mr. Walker's death, and then they moved Mr. Henry Temple from Pineland over here as general manager. And soon after that, Mr. Strauss passed away, and then later Mr. O'Hara did.
Okay.
Or Mr. Strauss was retired and then passed away. Mr. O'Hara was still employed as kind of a superintendent when he passed away.
I was trying to think now. Mr. Strauss didn't become general manager until...
No, he wasn't general manager.
He was co-manager.
Co-manager after...
This was in the 30s, wasn't it? In the early 30s? Or 29? You think it was earlier than that?
It's been the 20s, I think. I can't just be tied down to those dates.
I'd seen a notice in the Lufkin News in the 1928 or 29 where it said something about Mr. Strauss becoming something. He was, you know, he'd gotten a big promotion, and I wondered if that was about the date he became
a co-manager.
Co-manager.
They called him co-managers.
Yeah.
See, he had everything up to and including the machine shop.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, the woods and all that up there. And then Mr. O'Hara had the manufacturing of it.
Mm-hmm.
And he had charge of all that. And then Mr. O'Hara had charge of the houses in the office at that time then after. Mr. O'Hara, when he became co-manager, he took the, Mr. Strauss had charge of all the houses and building before then under Mr. Walker and Mr. O'Hara. They divided up the operation.
I don't remember which one had the houses at that time.
They divided up the operation.
See, before that, Mr. Wise always, people went to him. But Mr. Walker died long about 29, I believe.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So
R.C. was born when he died. He died in our house. That was where they lived.
Oh, in the house that you're living in now.
I had talked to him just about 10 minutes before that. Came to get some medicine for Clyde. And he was all dressed going out to the camp. And he was sitting on the porch, and it was on Monday, Monday. And Clyde had eaten a lot of persimmons, and he was sick at home, and I'd gone up there to get some medicine. And Mr. Walker was sitting on the office porch waiting to go out to the camp, all dressed in his khakis. So when I came out, he chuckled like it. He said, "Well, I understand Clyde ate too many persimmons." I said, "Yes, that's what I've done. I've come to get medicine." I went on back home, went in the kitchen to get water to give Clyde and Miss Joe Donald's mother, Smith. Alma Smith came to the gate and called me. And when I went to the door, she said, "Did you hear about Mr. Walker?" And I knew he was dead, just the way she talked. And he got sick with a heart attack there on the porch and came home and got in bed and died before they could get a doctor. I think that was in 29.
I think that's about when I was seeing those newspaper clippings at that point. Okay. All right. Now, in some of the things I was reading about the Depression, didn't Temple lose a lot of their, or close down a lot of their retail yards then when the Depression hit?
The Depression had nothing to do with it.
Oh, okay.
They did begin to sell off some of the yards, and the reason for that was that they had so many yards in almost in the big cities, centers, you know, and they was having the sales office was having difficulty because them trying to, well, say Vince in Dallas. They had one or two yards in Dallas, one or two in Houston. Well, they're having difficulty of selling to the other people because they're in competition on one way and selling to them on another. So the company decided, I don't know, I guess Mr. L.D. Gilbert, who was then absolutely general manager out of Texarkana, I guess he made the decision. They began to sell the yards off. Mm-hmm. But the Depression, as such, I'm sure didn't have anything to do with it, or could have, well, it might have too, but anyway, the reason was they was having difficulty to sell to, say, the Foxworth Lumber Company, who was a big distributor, because they were in competition to them and then trying to sell to them too, you see. Mm. And all like that, so they got out of the retail yard. Mm-hmm. But like I say, they advertised from the Red River to the Rio Grande. And then they don't have, but they've got some more yards now. See, they've got the Big Ten barn here, and one at Pineland, and one in Houston, one in Dallas, and one in Conroe. Conroe, that's what I was trying to think of.
I didn't realize they had all those. I just assumed it was the one. Okay, later, whenever you became vice president, now this was over land and timber?
No, not. Then they divided that, and I had the logging operations.
Oh, okay.
What they call the forest harvest, and then Kenneth Nelson was made vice president of land and timber, you see.
Okay.
They divided that operation up.
Into the two separate things. Okay, what kind of, how would they log at this time? Can you tell us something about that?
When I first came here, it was strictly team logging. By that I mean mostly mules, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd skid with them and load with them. And any of you who have never had the opportunity to see them load a truck with mules have missed something. I mean, you've seen it, haven't you? Those mules would be so trained. See, they'd put a chain fastened to the truck and come and put it under. They'd skid a log up beside it. Truck or log wagon right at first.
Mm-hmm.
And these mules, they'd they'd be on this, the opposite side of where the log was, and they'd put that chain around it, and that could just say get up or something. And
mm-hmm.
Old mule would take off, and they could tell when it hit the log wagon, and they would turn and come back themselves. It'd be, mm-hmm.
they use kind of like a pulley? Sort of a thing to?
Well, they just had it tied here to the truck.
And just pull it over.
Yeah, just pull it up on, and then they did the trucks later, but the first course is log wagons.
Oh.
Now, they never did use oxen after I came here.
I remember the oxens.
Yeah.
Back in my early days, I remember them coming by with the oxens, and sometimes the old oxen would decide he wasn't going to pull no more, and he'd just lay down right there, and they had that load of logs with the oxen laying down right in the middle of the road.
They had discarded the oxen when I came here. And then the first trucks they had was what they call September Morn. It consisted of four wheels, a little body, and a seat.
There
wasn't no cab or nothing. They just stripped down. They called them September Morns. And
what, do we have some pictures of those?
I wish we had a picture.
They picked them up out there in front of our house for 2 or 3 years, you know. They'd put them on the truck to take them somewhere, you know, the workers.
Oh, they were just...
I can't remember that along in the 30s.
Yeah, what she's talking about. That we always, these logging operations get ahead for the spring,
mm-hmm.
winter and the spring months. And
mm-hmm.
now they've got a tremendous stock ahead now because they can't log as much normally, especially
mm-hmm.
in April and May. That's the month we always dreaded. And they bank out the logs. They had to put them, they'd have everywhere out where they've got this present Scout House across there in front. That used
down
to be
down in Old Orchard Park?
Yeah, that's right off, of course, now Carter Drive.
Uh-huh.
They used to bank lots of them there, and then they'd have to pick them up.
What do you mean by bank? Just
lay
big piles
there,
of
yeah.
them?
Uh-huh, just build
just
big piles of them to keep them, you see, to let use on them when they couldn't log.
They didn't have to keep them wet or anything like that? I notice nowadays they spray them.
They later got to banking. They didn't in those days, no. Not the first they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't, but later they did after they got the new situation over there, the log handling process.
Mm-hmm.
Then they did have sprays on them, and they do now. Have
okay.
sprays on the ones that they stack them up over there now, and they have sprays on.
Well, most